This morning, God's Word comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. We're going to begin reading at verse 4 of this chapter and then read through verse 15. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. What we hear now is God's Word. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it, and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 14 in the back section. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7. And this morning we will read questions 20 through 22. I will read the question and you may respond with the answer. From Lord's Day 7, question 20. Are all men saved through Christ, just as all were lost through Adam?
No. Only those who are saved, who by the true faith are grafted into Christ, and accept all his blessings.
What is true faith?
True faith is not only a knowledge of conviction that everything in our heart reveals is in the word of truth. It is also a deeper assurance, created with me by the Holy Spirit,
what then must a Christian believe?
Everything God promises us in the gospel. That gospel is summarized for us in the articles of our Christian faith. I agree beyond doubt and confess throughout the world.
And what follows then in question 23 is the Apostles' Creed. Well, we have been talking in our study of the Word of God as summarized for us in the Catechism about the fact that we are in the salvation section. We are talking about how we are saved. We've recognized that man is guilty, that man is a sinner in need of a Savior. And we've talked about what kind of Savior that has to be. One who is truly human, because God will not punish any other creature for man's sin, and what yet one who is truly divine as well, to bear the wrath of a holy God. We have seen that God provided the only and the most excellent Savior, Jesus Christ. In Him, we find our salvation. The Catechism goes on now to ask a very good question, I think, when it says, are all men saved through Christ, just as all were lost through Adam? We've talked about the parallel between Adam and Christ. When Adam fell into sin, all of humanity fell with him. And everyone born since Adam is tainted with his sin. Is it the same then with Christ? That since he came, since he kept the law perfectly, since he made perfect redemption, just as all were lost in Adam, is everyone saved because of what Christ has done? And we have to admit, there are those who would say yes. There are churches that would say, you know, in the end, everyone really is saved. In the end, a loving God wouldn't really send anyone to hell. We can imagine a God who would send someone to eternal damnation for temporal sins. We know that is not how the Bible speaks. We know that there are two ultimate destinies for everyone. Either a life in eternal joy with God, or a life forever away from Him in the torments of hell. It is not the case that Adam and Christ are completely parallel. No, our confession says, only those are saved who by true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all His blessings. Those who by true faith embrace Jesus Christ. These are the ones who are found in Him. These are the ones who have the joy of salvation. True, saving faith. Jesus in Luke chapter 8 tells a parable about faith. And a parable about the different types of faith. There are some who would say today, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe. You can pick Jesus, or you can pick Buddha, or you can pick Muhammad, or you can pick whatever God you like. As long as you believe, the faith is what is important. There are some who would say, as long as you're sincere in your belief, that's what really counts. Jesus teaches about different types of faith. False faiths and true faith. True saving faith. We look at this parable this morning to learn about the faith that really saves. He tells a parable. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. And that seed that is sown, we are told, is the Word of God. The sower is God Himself. God is the one who, through the instrument of fallen men, will spread that seed. But God, ultimately, is the sower. And we recognize that faith which saves, faith that embraces Christ, is given by God. And that faith has a passive component to it, and that faith has an active component to it. There's a passive component in that faith is given. It is a gift. It is something man receives. We are passive in the reception. Our confession says, only those are saved who by true faith are grafted into Christ. What is grafting? Back in Arizona, there's a lot of citrus trees, children. Citrus is like orange trees and lemon trees and grapefruit trees. Lots of citrus trees around. And sometimes you can look and you can see a tree, a citrus tree, And on one tree, you will find lemons and grapefruits and oranges. All three growing on one tree. It's called a fruit cocktail tree. Now, how do they do that? Do they just throw three different types of seeds in the ground and kind of hope they get mixed together? No, that's not how it's done. It's done by what's called grafting. They take a strong and healthy grapefruit tree, and they go to a different orange tree, and they cut a branch out of that orange tree, take it over to the grapefruit tree, and they put that branch in the stalk, in the root of the tree. And they wrap it up with tape, and that branch begins to grow out of the trunk. And they do the same thing with the lemon tree. They take that and they graft that in. The branch is brought in, and it gets its life from the trunk of the original tree. Only those are saved who by true faith are grafted into Christ. The branch is passive in being put in. The gardener grafts it in. And so too we are grafted into Christ. We are taken as branches that are dead and grafted into the root, Jesus Christ, and we get our life from Him. That is the faith that is a gift. That is the faith that is passive. We receive that from God. Just like the branch is passive in being grafted in. And yet then, after having been grafted in, it gets its life and it grows and it continues to produce fruit. There is an active component to our faith. That branch doesn't remain dead in the new tree, but it lives in the new tree. It gets its nutrients from the new tree. And it is an active, vital, fruit-producing part of the new tree. There is an active component in the faith that God gives. We are called, having been given the gift of faith, to exercise that faith. We are called to believe the truth of the Word. When that seed is sown and when Christ is revealed, we are the ones who are called to actively embrace Him, know Him, love Him, and serve Him, and produce fruit for Him. Faith has that active component. Oh, it's a gift of God, given to all of God's chosen. But that gift must then be used. It must be exercised. We are the ones who are called to believe. We are the ones who are called to have faith, true faith in Jesus Christ. Only those are saved who by true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all His blessings, actively appropriating all the gifts God has given to us. That is the faith that saves. Not just any faith, not just sincerity in our faith, but an active faith given to us by God and expressed in our love and desire and devotion for Christ. The parable speaks about different types of faith. Faith that comes from the Word. The seed, we are told, is the Word of God. The seed is sown. The Word is spread. We know that faith comes through hearing. And yet that word is heard by different ears. Even this morning, as we look at God's word, this word will be received by different ears. Jesus says, some who heard were like a sower sowing his seed on the path. Verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. So the word has been given. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved, that they may not have that true saving faith. word sown along the path. It is heard. It is heard externally. It is heard outwardly. But it is never heard with the heart. It is never internalized. It is never embraced and loved and enjoyed. Oh, it bounces across our ears. But there is no real knowledge of the truth of that word. Our confession reminds us that true faith has the component of knowledge. We have to know what it is we believe. We have to know what it is we put our faith in. And that's why as a church we are very concerned about the training of our children, that they be given the knowledge of the faith. We send them to Sunday school. We send them to catechism. We give them God-centered education. All these ways to give them the knowledge of the faith. Those who are on the path don't have that real, firm knowledge. The word is snatched away. They hear it. It tickles their ears. But never really gets inside. Maybe they would say they have a warm feeling about Jesus. But no real knowledge of who he is. Their faith is a mystical thing. It's an elusive thing. And that word which is heard is taken away. And we read that they are not saved. Verse 12, that they may not believe and be saved. Those who are like the path hear the word, and yet it simply stays on the outside. There are those who hear the word, and it is like seed that is sown on the rocks. Verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in the time of testing, fall away. They have heard the word, And for a time, they embrace the word. They hear it. They receive it with joy. The words of Jesus Christ, a sinner's Savior, they hear the gospel. They know the joy of that. And they receive that, and they begin to embrace it. They have some initial knowledge. They have some initial joy in the words they have heard. And yet it is only knowledge. Because after a while, in the time of testing, they fall away. If we can use the words of our confession, they have knowledge, but no real conviction. Conviction is not only a knowledge of the truth, it is that this is true for me. They have no conviction that when Jesus says he will take us through whatever trials come, that he really means it for us. In the time of testing, they fall away. No real conviction that God will do what he says he will do. The seed that falls on the rock, it is heard, received with joy, but then it's let go. And in the time of testing, they fall away. There's a third group. Those who hear the word. And they are like seed that falls among the thorns. Verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. They hear the word. They know the word. They even have some conviction about the word. But again, in the language of our confession, they lack a deep-rooted assurance. The thorns grow with their roots very close to the surface, we might say. There is no deep-rooted confidence. that all of this glory and all of this truth will really carry me through. And their lives are choked out because they have no root. They are choked by the cares of the world. When trials come, when temptations come, their faith has no depth to it. It is simply on the surface. And they cannot withstand the temptations and the trials and the cares that come. Their faith does not lack, that does not stand. When the cares come, they are choked by the cares, and they are choked by riches. Now that may seem unusual. That those who experience riches in this life may be like those whose faith is fallen on the rocks. They on the thorns. They are choked by riches, by prosperity. Because when things are going well, when we can make our house payment on time, when there's clearly food on the table, when everyone's healthy, it is easy to forget that there is a God who's provided these things for us. It is easy to forget that when everything's going great, we still stand in need of Him to bring Him praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving. This word is choked by the riches of life and by the pleasures of life. Pleasures, those things that take our minds and our focus away from God. Those things perhaps wrong in themselves or wrong because we overindulge in them. And these good things, we might say, are able to choke out the faith that is grown by the Word. Thorns, choked by the cares of the world, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. A faith that does not save. And then the good soil. Verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. They are those who hear the word, they hold fast to the word, and that word then guides and directs all that they do, that they bear fruit. They have knowledge, they have conviction, they have a deep-rooted assurance given and created by God through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel, that out of sheer grace, not only others, but I too have been saved. That's the conviction of those who have that good soil, hearts prepared to hear the word of God. A conviction that this is not just a story, not just information. It is for me. Christ's death, burial, resurrection, ascension. All for me. Those who have that good soil embrace the Word of God. It is a faith that saves and a faith that produces and bears fruit with patience. As God continues to work on us, we see glimmers of what He is doing in the fruit that is born. Oh, we see how far short we fall as well. But there are glimmers that with patience, God is working His ways out in us that we might bear fruit. And as the parable says, bear fruit a hundredfold. This is the faith that saves. A faith that knows Christ. A faith that embraces Christ as my Savior. The word goes out and it falls on various types of soil. This morning, once again, the word goes out It is heard by various ears. How do you hear this word this morning? Will it be like that word and that seed sown on the path that you might be interested today and then walk out the door and never give it a second thought? Will it be like that seed sown on the rocky soil and that it might be received with joy but have no root? Will it be like that of the thorns where it's choked by cares or riches or pleasures in life? Or may it be that by God's goodness and by His grace, He has prepared each of our hearts like that good soil. That as the word of Jesus Christ goes out and the glories of the gospel are once again told, that our hearts hear that word and embrace that word and resolve by the grace of God to bear fruit according to that word, to conform our lives to the word of God, to bear fruit in good works toward God. That is the faith that saves, a faith that is given to us by God Himself, and a faith that you are then called to exercise as those who have received the gift. Oh, may God's Spirit work mightily among us today, that the word fall on good soil, and that faith that saves abound. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we know how easy it is for us to hear your word, to be interested in your word, and yet never to allow it to truly sink inside and change us. We pray, O God, that today, by the power of your Spirit, you might work that saving faith in our hearts. You might, by your goodness and by your grace, help us to respond, a wholehearted response, to hear the word, hold fast to the word, and bear fruit to your honor and glory. Left to ourselves, we know we are weak, but with you, we are strong. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.